Will they find a home? Sponsored by GEICO. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. We are coast to coast. We are worldwide on American Forces Radio, and we are fortunate to have here in the Napa Auto Parts Studios that man. He's over there. He is actor and comedian Billy Gardell. Yay. Hey, Billy, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It's so nice to be in the studio with you guys again. I'm usually dialing in.
It's a little weird because I was just watching you this morning. Literally,
in his hotel room. That's creepy.
No, that would have been creepy.
Just watching me shave.
It was one of the first season episodes of Mike and Molly, and it was the one in which the marriage word is mentioned for the first time.
Right.
Great episode.
Yeah, brilliant writers on that show.
Great.
We were so spoiled. Our table drafts were usually better than most of people's shoot scripts.
Yeah. I love the cast on that show. And I, since you're here, I think I'm going to talk about how much I like everybody else on the show.
Sure, I would. I would. Nothing's changed.
I mean, you guys were both great, obviously. But I loved Swoozie Kurtz, who we talked to her, and her name. I've got a trivia. You know what Swoozie? You know where she got her name?
I don't.
Swoozie Kurtz, great actress, Broadway actress. Mm-hmm. She's named after, I believe she said it was her father's airplane.
Correct. Her father was
World War II.
Heroic airplane pilot.
Oh,
that's
really?
Exactly. The Swoos Goose.
And, cool. And she's this super thin, gorgeous.
She's lovely. Man.
Woman of a certain age.
Let me tell you, I've had to do a couple scenes with her. She's a Broadway veteran. She's won Tonys and she's won Emmys. And let me tell you something. She's had to hit me a couple times. You know how little she is? She's got a right hook. I mean, she has rung my bell, man. Rung my bell.
And I love the guy that plays her boyfriend.
Lou Mastillo, another Broadway veteran actor who was just phenomenal. And we were so blessed to get him.
Great Chicago accent.
Oh, my God, he nails it. It's always down to the... Billy, let me ask you something. The problem is he sounds like that off...
Does he? I was kind of wondering.
Oh, does he?
It's not as much, but it's right there because he's from Buffalo. So it's that lake effect. He still has that.
He was on The Sopranos.
He was the gardener.
The gardener.
Tony just destroyed.
Yeah.
That's right.
Robert Loggia breaks his arm.
That's exactly right. Very good.
And you know how to spell Robert Loggia, don't you?
No, how do you spell it?
Well,
R as in Robert Loggia.
O as in, oh my God, it's Robert Loggia. Yeah, that's right.
Billy Gardell is our guest. Do you mind if I keep talking about how much I love that show?
No, I want you to. I really love it. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
I may have
really
seen
great.
Every episode.
There, you know what? It was a timeless show. And looking at it now, looking back, I think we hold up, man. I think writers wrote really beautiful stories that were funny and heartfelt. It was definitely a throwback show to, I mean, you know, and we had such a pedigree coming into that show because we had Chuck Lorre producing us.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jimmy Burrows directing us.
Oh, man.
Directed Cheers, Taxi, Friends.
No, Chuck Lorre is the guy behind all these huge hit shows.
Two and a Half Men, Mom, Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm.
So when he walks in a room, do you hear angels sing?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he really understands that it's about the relationships between the characters. And I think that's a lot of that's lost on the younger producers and younger writers. They think you just need to say a smarmy line, end the scene. And you go, why does this show suck? Well, the reason is there's no connection to the characters. And that's what he drills at. Because if you look at the shows that he's produced, like if you look at them on paper, it doesn't, I don't know how he gets them sold. He gets them sold because he's him. But, I mean, if you look like, yeah, we're going to make four nerds rock stars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take two overweight people and make them romantic leads. It's all about the characters with him. And then when, you know, we were so lucky to get Jimmy Burrows the first 2 years. I mean, the fact that guy knows more about funny than any of us will ever know. I mean, he's directed Taxi, Cheers, Friends, Will and Grace. It goes on and on and on.
Legendary.
We did the thing that they honored him, Sean... from Will and Grace.
Hayes.
Sean Hayes, yeah. It was a super sweet man, put together this tribute for him on NBC.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
And we were all sitting there, man, and I was like, what a fraternity. Because we looked over to the right, and it's the Taxi table, and to the left of us was Cheers. Behind us was Frasier. The Friends kids were like, the sitcoms that this man has helped shape, unbelievable. And we got him for 2 years, which I really think molded the relationships. You know, he would preach, go out to dinner together, go hang out together. If I don't think you know each other, nobody else is going to think that you know each other. No. And we bonded very well as a cast. And I always say it's because we were over 40. Everybody was over 40. Just about, except Katie and Niambi. Everybody else was over
40.
Katie
Mixon?
Yes, who has a new show, American Housewife on ABC.
She was
she was the sister.
What was the show? The
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. Mm-hmm. God.
And she has a role in the new movie Hell or High Water.
Yes, she does.
She's terrific.
She's a wonderful actress. But the grounding that came into that, because we had the veteran actors in Lou Mastillo and Susie Kurtz and a woman I adore, Rondi Reed, who played my mom.
She was great. Is she American?
She is. She came out of Steppenwolf, man.
In Chicago?
Her contemporaries were like Malkovich.
You mean Born to be Wild?
Yeah, that's a great band. Wow, that's
unbelievable.
Not the band Steppenwolf.
But she's great. She plays your mom. And she
so mentoring and so kind. And the thing about our cast was, like I said, everybody was over 40, so there wasn't that attitude of arrogance that you think you have to have when you're young. You know, we were all like, wow, we have good parking, and we have insurance, and we're all being paid. Mm-hmm. Let's just all really enjoy this.
Billy Gardell is our guest, by the way, and Billy, of course, the star of Mike and Molly, which is now in syndication. Mm-hmm. And
Billy's making money sitting here.
I am. I made $12.
Yeah.
It's an after contract.
From the 4:30 episode.
That's right.
Great show, and I think it'll last a long time. I love the fact that they don't dwell on the overweight thing.
No, we touched on it at the beginning.
Yeah, and then okay, everybody gets over it, and because that would have, I think, been
a little bit difficult.
I have a technical question. You're at this thing, this tribute. Yes. You're surrounded by these amazing actors,
yes.
And you still have to be looking around going, holy.
Yeah.
There's Frasier.
Yeah,
How cool do you have to be to not walk up and get a selfie? Kelsey Grammer? I mean, do you have to be?
I think there's kind of because the way Burroughs does his thing, everybody kind of feels like you're either his kids or you're his grandkids. So Mike and Molly was kind of his grandkids. But everybody respects each other because they came from that school. So everybody was kind, and it wasn't so much a selfie thing. It was like a wow, we got to do it too.
But you have to be cool, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm a little goofy. I think if you can't enjoy what you're doing, you're ridiculous. Like I hear these actors, when you hear them go, "Well, I did the movie, but I haven't watched it."
Yeah.
Well, why? Why'd you get into the business? I just think you should enjoy every moment of that. The one time that I've been excited to meet other actors and talk with them about different things, but the one time I was really starstruck was Burroughs is very good friends with Bruce Springsteen. Like their kids ride horses together, and it's like they're good buddies. And he brought Springsteen to our taping one night, and I swear to God, when I met him, it was as if someone threw hot water on me.
Yeah.
I was like a little girl. I was like, oh, my God!
Bruce Springsteen!
And I got to talk with him, and that was the one time where I was like, I lost my cool completely.
So yeah. I hear you're from New Jersey.
That's exactly, man.
You always fantasize.
So you have a good band. You have a good band. You're very good.
So I've got a real quick story like that. We had Greg Allman come into the show.
Yeah,
I loved Greg Allman. I wanted to quit college to be a roadie for the Allman Brothers.
Right.
Right.
So Greg Allman's here, and I found out later on from one of his guys he'd never been up this early in his life. But I happened to go into the men's room, and in those days we had a urinal and a stall.
Correct.
And I go in, and Greg Allman follows me in. So I figure, I go to the stall. So
you better take
the
stall, yes.
So and Greg Allman kind of talks like that, and he goes, "You get up this early every morning?" And I'm peeing. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Allman.
And Michael W., this is his act, was, "Man, this has got to cut into your time to boogie."
What a great phrase.
I get that tattooed on my arm? and then this was one of their reunion tours, and we walk out, and one of Greg's guys walks up to him, kind of does one of these, looks left, looks right. Greg holds out his hand, then he dumps a bunch of pills in his hand, and Greg throws them in.
Vitamins.
Yeah.
Rock and
roll vitamins.
Yeah, but meeting your idols can be really tough. So.
It does. And I was worried about meeting Springsteen because he's been like a soundtrack to everywhere I've been in my life, just like many people. And I was like, oh, please, please. I can't take it if you're going to be a jerk. I can't. I won't be able to handle it. But he was as cool as I hoped he'd be, and even kinder. And I ended up later actually getting to go have dinner at Jimmy's house with Bruce and his wife.
Wow.
That's like my one... That's the one where I was like blown away. I didn't know how to I'd talk. Have like to me and my wife drove home silent. Like, did that just happen? Like, what weird ticket did we use? Like, run, Charlie, run home as fast as you can. Like, how did I get inside the factory?
So shines a good deed in a weary world.
Why were you putting saltpeter on your mashed potatoes? I didn't want to get an erection in front of Mr. Springfield.
Literally.
See, Billy, I don't know if you know this about Tom, but he equates wonderful experiences in your lifetime, like your favorite football team or meeting someone that you admire, and you get an erection for some reason. I'm not sure.
It's a metaphorical erection.
I don't think it is with him. Actually, physically, I think.
I'm sorry, Mr. Allman, I'll be sitting down. That Greg Allman moment, when we had Allman, we had Greg Allman, and it was and Dickie Betts.
Wow.
And they had just added Warren Haynes to the band.
Is now the time I should tell you that I didn't know his name wasn't Almond until I worked at this radio station,
Are
our
you
flagship,
kidding me?
And I was my first weekend shift.
You thought it was Almond like
I
the nut.
It was Greg Almond like
okay.
the nut.
As Pat Paulson once said, you can't see anything bad about President Johnston.
That's true. And I go, oh my gosh. So
we're there, and we're talking with Dickie Betts and Greg Almond, and Dickie Betts takes a piece of paper, writes down in big letters on a Sharpie, and passes it to me with an arrow pointing, saying, Warren Haynes. Meaning reintroduce Mr. Warren Haynes is now a friend of this show.
Sure.
But he was, how cool is it for Dickie Betts to be going, hey, this is the new guy, welcome.
That's
him.
How it should be.
Yeah.
Or Dickie Betts is an egomaniac and he's trying to tell you how to produce your own show. Which
Why
I
you got
to
start trouble? Why you
got to
start trouble?
That's what Chick does.
Did you know his name was Dickie Betts or did you think it was Dickie Bates?
Dickie Bates.
I didn't know there was a
Hey, Dickie.
I thought it was a Dickie Bet.
Dickie Bet.
I thought it was a nickname.
Ooh, or I
had a gambling
bet.
Problem. Hey!
You know, we like to bring our guests here so they can listen to us tell stories. Would you just
need
be quiet?
Make book,
Could we
Betts?
Talk to Mr.
Dickie
Gardell?
Dickie Betts, take your money.
Dickie Betts and George Almond.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Billy Gardell is our guest. And I don't know much about this, but I do know your new project. I think I've got this right. You're playing Colonel Tom Parker?
I am. The Million Dollar Quartet. And
Great play.
It was a great play. And they got the playwright, and they partnered him with Gil Grant, and they wrote a dramatic 8-part series.
This is the story of the famous session.
Sun Studios.
And
it's the beginning of rock and roll. So it takes place, starts in 1952. We filmed on location in Memphis, and the Million Dollar Quartet, of course, was four unknowns named Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yep.
And it's about their beginnings and their trip to Sun Studios. Chad Michael Murray plays Sam Phillips, who started Sun Studios. And it's that great time where rock and roll was created. I mean, the Delta Blues was mixing with the Church, and that was mixing with rockabilly, and it made this sound, rock and roll. And I played Colonel Tom Parker, and you get to see what a crazy deviant this guy was before he got into the music business and then became even more crazy. But I love the role because I really love I love what John Goodman did with his career after Roseanne. So I'm kind of trying to follow that template to the best of my ability. So I told my agents I want to look for something dramatic to do. I want to look for something that's going to challenge me and maybe see me in a different light. And let's see how wide we can make this focus before I have to wear a security guard uniform for the rest of my career, which I will happily do. But I wanted to take a chance and do this. And I found this script, and I just loved the part of Colonel Parker. And it was such a nice turn to go from Mike, who's super sweet and always doing the right thing, to a guy that'll just lie when the truth works. And then they brought in Roland Joffe to direct it, The Mission, The Killing Field. So I just went down there with the attitude of becoming a better actor, and I think I did a good job. I'm excited. It comes out in March on CMT. It'll be after Nashville.
Oh, great. Nice timing.
I could actually hear Tim Wilson whispering in my ear, but, Bill, you're going to play Colonel Parker?
No, it'd be followed by, here's what you don't know.
That's exactly right. And by the way, I saw his hat on your door. That touches my heart now.
It's
so nice
been
to
there.
See it. He's
it's
the man.
Always been there.
He was the man. I think he's looking down on me. He's happy I did Colonel Parker.
His picture's next to mine.
Oh, for sure, Billy, for sure.
You know what I mean? That'd have been right up his head. Bill, Colonel Parker.
But again, he always has a story that no one knew. No
yes,
one knew.
Always.
Some fact that only he knew. And he was going to drive it into your head whether you wanted to or not.
He has the greatest Lynyrd Skynyrd story of all time.
Which one?
The band Lynyrd Skynyrd always claimed that their name came from a gym teacher that made him get haircuts.
That's what I thought it was.
Nope.
Tim says.
Yeah. Nope. Not according to Tim
I may
Wilson.
Need to get the audio.
My only problem with this is that Tom drags Alan Sherman into this whole thing, and
Well, here's
I
the
ain't
thing.
Buying it.
These guys hate this because I love my favorite song of all time, maybe "Hello Mudder, Hello Fada."
You see what we're see what we're dealing with here.
And here we are at Camp Granada. Yeah.
Oh my God! Now he's starting. Oh,
who doesn't? Who didn't have that record? My grandma had that.
There's
record.
A line in that that goes, "You remember Leonard Skinner?" Da 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 da. And one of the guys in Skinner told him that's where we got the name, but it was too silly a story to tell.
Uncool.
It's not rock and roll.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Only Tim would know that.
Tim, well, he got it right. He got it right from, I think he got it either from Ed King or, let's see, one of the other guys, one of the other guitar players. I forget who he got it from. But that's what he claims.
And the coach just happened to still be named Leonard Skinner?
I don't think that was the case.
Ah.
I think that whole story was fabric. Who knows? But that was one of his classic stories.
I think that's one of the problems with the world is people just are now, we just need to know the real story, and sometimes it's okay to just have the good story to inspire you.
And I always
need to know.
I think the other thing is everyone has to work on being cool. And one of the great things about Mike and Molly is
no, we didn't care.
You weren't cool.
I think, but I think that again, that's another gift of being over 40. You don't care about all you care about after 40 is comfort. I was at the grocery store a couple weeks ago, and I looked down. I had dark socks and sandals on.
No way.
I don't care anymore. I got a coupon for milk. I got to get home in an hour. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm fine with that. It's a very safe life. Took a long time to get lame.
Billy Gardella's just one real quick question. This is a two-parter.
Yes, sir.
You went to Bruce Springsteen's house.
No, I went to Burroughs' house.
Oh, Burroughs' house
to have dinner with Bruce Springsteen.
This question will still work. Okay. Does Burroughs have any memorabilia posted in his house? If so, is it just in one room? Or
first of all, there's so many rooms. I'm pretty sure they elect a pope at his house. he's an art collector, so he has very interesting pieces of art all throughout the house.
But he doesn't have, like, pictures of his productions?
No, he has got an office with like 12 Emmys sitting on a counter. So I was like, I guess that's enough, right? That kind of says everything. I always joke with him whenever we go into another room. I always go, Jimmy, you ever been in here?
And at your house, do you have a little office?
I do. I have one room in my house that my wife has let me have.
And is that the room that you have any stuff you might have from your showbiz career?
Yeah, I didn't take a lot from Mike and Molly. We all stole a little something as a memorabilia thing. I took my badge and my badge and my name tag our camera crew had put into plaques for me in Reno, which I thought was really cool. And I took my hat and I took one of the uniforms. So probably shouldn't be saying that on the air, but that's right. No, that was the only memorabilia that I have a poster that the cast signed for me, and you know what I mean? Little things like that. My office is, I have one room in a very big house that my wife gave me. So I get one room.
You get the one room.
And in my room, I have hard books, and I have a record player, and there's nothing digital.
I have one of my son's rooms because he's living in Chicago now, so I get his. Oh, I'm not joking. Giant Kiss posters, Cream posters, Hendrix everywhere.
At least he's got good taste.
So you're still a hard copy guy, books, CDs.
I have to have a hard copy first edition.
Nice.
I have to have a lot of notebooks. I'm a pen weirdo. I got a lot of pens, certain pens I write with. I got to have a leather bag.
I got one for you to try.
Here's Tom and his pen story.
My wife will get on. Yes, I know that noise. My wife. Well, I buy a new journal, and my journals are anywhere from $8 to $20, but it's my OCD thing, whatever. I write about halfway through them, and then I buy a new one. And my wife is constantly like, that's such a waste of money.
No, she doesn't get it.
It's such a waste of money. I go, look around this house. Can you not afford me this one extra? It has worked out for us.
You go into Office Depot and you look at those notebooks in their blank and you go, that's the one that's going to have the joke.
That's it.
That's what's going to have the joke. Then you walk over and then you look at the pens. Of which
yes, say it.
By the way, I found a new one. By the way, speaking of erections,
which one?
Oh my God!
I don't have it here. If I had, I'd give it to you, Billy. It's this German ultra fine point. God, it makes the jokes funny.
By the way, Parker, I'm a Parker Jotter fan. Those are one of my favorite pens. And the 60th anniversary just came out with the white bottom instead of blue and silver. Just a heads up.
Yeah. Oh. You are a pen nerd.
I'm whacked out.
Wow.
I actually went on the air when they stopped making the Pentel Stinger 2.
Oh, I went.
I love that he knows the names like I do.
Oh, yeah.
I went on the air and I begged.
Please.
A guy found me like 30 cases.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's good. And you need all of them.
Yeah. We're talking with the very fine actor and comedian Billy Gardell. This is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Thanks very much for joining us. And we are hanging out with comedian Billy Gardell. I'm about to make him feel at home, I think.
Uh-oh. Okay, let's hope this goes well.
Coming up, you know this show, it could go wrong. Coming up, it's the Napa Shoo-In of the Week, and of course the Napa Tool of the Week. Mr. Gardell, we've known Billy since he was just a young, handsome stand-up comedian with a great head of hair.
I've never been young, never been handsome.
And a great show. I think it's one of those shows I think you can watch, as you mentioned. It's got great legs on it. It's going to be kind of evergreen. It's called Mike and Molly. You've moved on to a new project I'll get to in just a second, but I want to see if you know who this is. We got off track, of course, because it's this show, and got to talk about meeting famous people and how you get nervous sometimes, even at your level.
Yeah,
and
we
had Greg Allman and Dickie Betts in here, and it was kind of nerve-wracking for me. But I want to see, since we're talking a little bit of rock and roll, do you recognize this? Let me see if I can find this. Here it is. How about this?
We can't stop this burning desire.
Pittsburgh's finest.
Is that Donnie Iris?
Yeah. Yes.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Everybody.
Ready?
How do we say Donnie?
Donnie.
Donnie Iris. That's right.
That's him. He was obviously famous in Pittsburgh where you grew up.
Yes.
But that's one of those great songs.
Great summer jam.
Sort of a regional hit.
Rock and roll song of all.
But it's one of those songs. You got to get it and listen to it. It's a great
tune. When you think it's over and you've got it, they throw a little something there at the end.
Before we get back to what you want to talk about, we were talking off the air. I've sort of taken over one of my son's rooms at my house.
Right.
Because I'm not in charge of my house anymore.
I understand this.
And I'm about to reinstall my classic amplifier.
Oh. No.
Yes.
And vinyl.
He does have a urinal in one of his houses in the garage.
I do have a urinal in the garage, but that's a different story.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
What kind of albums are you listening to on vinyl?
I guess strictly jazz and classic rock. And then I got like 10 of the cheesiest Christmas albums that I could find that I torture my family with for about 2 weeks leading up to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
At least you keep it in the season.
This is an awful thing to do, but I'm going to do this to you right now.
No. Go ahead. What do you got?
You had a guy that was writing for your show.
Yes.
That is a friend of this show and has been for many years.
Think the world of him.
And he's a terrific writer. In fact, the episode I just watched of your show, the most recent one I watched, he wrote.
Mark Gross.
Mark Gross is his name.
I am a fan.
This is a...
On and off the field.
This is a Christmas piece.
Okay.
We have a rule. We never play anything about Christmas prior to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I'm breaking the rule.
Okay. All right.
Just for you.
Thank you.
Because of your years in stand-up comedy.
All right.
I think you will enjoy this recording of us speaking with him going back just a few years. Right now we're joined in the studio by comedian Mark Gross.
I had to do these corporate gigs. You know, I did one the night before. It was Christmas week. You know, we'll get a comedian for Christmas week. It'll be great. Well, you know, and so I get in there and it's the old, you know, the podium mic with that thing. And I have no idea what had gone wrong with this company. It was like a media buyers group. I believe it was in Omaha or something. I don't remember. But I go in there and you could just tell something was clearly wrong. Really wrong.
By the way, we're to give the announcement about the downsizing after our next guest. Yes. You might have read yesterday in the paper. 39 of the 42 of you will be losing.
Now, here's comedian Mark Gross.
None of you got your Christmas bonuses. Instead, we've given the money to this funny young man here. Who's, you know, I don't know. Something.
Something was wrong.
Something was wrong.
I don't know. Gross sounds like a Jew to me. Merry Christmas.
Get him up here. I'm telling you, I mean, literally, I'm 7 minutes in, nothing. And I'm clean, and I'm going, what is wrong? And people started to shun me. Literally, they were like, they would turn their backs and they're looking down and they wouldn't even face me. And I go, I'm totally serious. They were turning around. I could hear their chairs. This is horrible, you know? And I thought, I'm at least doing my time because they'll try and rip me off. So I get done with it. And I'm like, thank you, good night. And nobody claps. Then I had to walk through the audience to get to the lady in the back with the check.
Uh-huh.
I had to do that. I'm like walking. I can hear my feet. That's it. And this lady was in the back room with this check in her hand, and she said it loud enough so that everyone could hear to save her own, you know, to save her own bacon or whatever. And she goes, "Well, I hope you're happy." Which is never good for starters. And then she goes, "I hope you're happy. You've ruined Christmas."
There you go. That's the great Mark Gross.
I love him.
Mm-hmm. Man, nobody tells a story like Mark.
I'm going to call him and ask him who books that. Maybe I can pick that up this year.
And Mark worked with Billy Gardell on Mike and Molly, and he's gone on to a couple new shows. I think he's doing Matt LeBlanc.
He's writing on Matt LeBlanc's, but he's in development. CBS has signed him to an overall deal, and well-deserved, this guy. You know, me and Mark hope to work together again in a couple years. I think it would be a great teaming, and we would giggle, man. We would be on the Warner Brothers lot and just giggle, like, who has let us in here? Like, you know, we should be at a one-nighter at a bar called Sticky's. And here we are, man. We're riding around in a golf cart, and people are asking us if we want lattes. I don't know how that happened.
When you're shooting the show, does Mark stand in the wings and say, "Wait a minute," and they'll change a line?
Here's how we would do it. When we shoot, there's always a place called Video Village where, you know, Chuck and Al Higgins and Julie Bean and Mark and our other writers kind of sit there and they watch the monitor and you have the live audience. And then you do the take and then they would look at it and think, okay, can we, like, they kind of worked as a team. And they go, okay, can we beat that? Can we beat that? Can we beat that? What can we beat that line with? And then someone would fly in, give you the line change, and you would do the take again. And then what we got to was we would do two and try to nail everything the writers wrote. And then the third take, they would let Melissa just do whatever came to her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always tell her, "Don't tell me. I don't want to know what you do. I don't want to know. That way, I want to see if I can hold it together."
Wow.
Because that'll make the audience enjoy it even more. So whatever you're going to do, just do it, but don't indicate and don't let me know. So then it became this really cool dance between us. So
does the audience know that?
They had no – well, they don't know that the third one was just going to be her going and doing anything. So it was a surprise for them as well. So it became these really nice three takes of every scene. It was one for the writers, then the writers would adjust, and we'd do one for them again, and then they would let us kind of see what was going
to happen. I would make this argument.
And they would pick the best.
I was going to say, how many times did the third take ever make it into the show?
Oh, it did. It did. So yeah. That was one of the great things about our show is if whatever was the best lived. There wasn't, we didn't have an ego about, "I wrote that and you need to put it in there."
Did you see the movie This Is 40?
Her outtakes.
That was the funniest.
It stole the movie.
Well, I called the movie This Is 40 minutes
movie.
Too long.
Yeah.
let's move on. We're talking with Billy Gardell, and I know you got to get going here. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you guys for always having me on.
The new project.
Hold on and take your thank yous. Thank you for always having me on. You've had me on here since I was 22 years old.
Well, that was just 5 years ago.
That's impossible. Yeah, that can't possibly be.
I just really appreciate it, man.
You're very welcome.
Always welcome here.
And we were lucky. We had Swoozy on, and we had.
I'll get Lou to call you if you want. He's not doing nothing. He'd love to call you.
Oh, Salvitro from Sopranos.
Hey,
yeah.
How's it going there, Tom? How are you?
Every time he mentions the Viagra.
We got a New York person. We got an L.A. person. We need a Chicago guy.
He's the guy that made me break character more than anyone else.
He makes me laugh.
Because he would
so
just
much.
Come at you with those big eyes and those sausage link fingers.
Let me tell you something.
I couldn't hold it.
I like Nyambi.
Sweetheart of a man.
The guy that is the waiter and the cook. And you guys will be talking about something, and then he'll mention abject poverty.
Yeah, exactly. Every time.
I'd like to go home.
I came here in the wheel well.
Last year I ate a piece of gum. the new project, is called?
The Million Dollar Quartet. It's about the beginning of Sun Studios, Elvis, Johnny Cash.
And you play
Colonel Tom Parker.
And it will be airing when?
In mid-March. They're looking for their exact premiere date, but we should come on right after Nashville.
Oh, we have to talk to you again before that.
Yeah, I will call and shamelessly plug the show and beg you for more airtime.
Okay.
Would imagine at the end of February.
and go see Billy live. I was lucky enough to MC a show he did a couple months ago in St. Louis. And my God, the act is just stellar.
That's right. And this guy's funny.
That's why we
this
on
is
him.
Why we
very,
have him
very
here.
Funny cat, man.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
He had an appendectomy on Sunday, and he was.
Oh my God, I did. Right? Yeah. I'm doing all right.
He was told, "Be careful. You really shouldn't laugh for a week." And then he told the doctor what he did. And he goes, "Don't worry about that.
You'll be fine."
If I had an appendectomy, it would be like the scene in Jaws where a license plate comes out, and a tire.
Billy Gardell's
the little Kittner boy.
One real quick thing before we go, we have to do this.
Hello, mother. Hello, father.
Yes.
Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining.
Remember this?
Sure. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy.
Here's the good one.
You remember Leonard Skinner?
Wow.
He got ptomaine poisoning last night.
A lot of people don't know.
The man Leonard Skinner.
Oh, Timmy, well, we love you.
Mr. Tom Griswold.
Yeah.
Thanks, Billy Gardell. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections oder Excel-Superkräfte?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Ich fühle mich plötzlich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Abgabefrist 31. Juli.
Was?
Schaffst du ganz entspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Ach ja.